Our text, which we will be considering on this morning, is a short one. It is the first verse of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Encyclopedia Britannica, which I assume still to be a pretty reputable source of information, has an article on their website that lays out what they consider to be 12 of the most popular stories of all time. It highlights such classics as Anna Karenina, The Invisible Man, and you juniors in English class will enjoy seeing The Great Gatsby and To Kill a Mockingbird on that list. Most people have a favorite story, especially when you're little. I remember waiting at the bus stop as a kindergartner, asking my dad to tell me over and over again the story about how he had killed a deer from a tree stand with his last crooked arrow. It had everything a little Nauman could want. Insurmountable odds, overcoming adversity, trying to hit a moving target with a messed up arrow, and a freezer full of venison at the end. I knew exactly how it went, how it started, how it progressed, how it ended, and I still wanted to hear it again and again. When a story is good, you don't mind it being repeated. In fact, you crave its repetition. Whether it's a movie or a book or a documentary, you keep going back to it. Yesterday was the last Sunday of the church year, and so most of you probably heard a sermon having to do with the end times, with Judgment Day and Christ's return. Next Sunday, the first Sunday in Advent, back to page one on the story of Jesus Christ. Why is it so important that we keep going through the same story over and over again? We've all heard it. We know how it starts, and there were in the same country shepherds, etc., etc. We know what the climax of the story is, Christ on Golgotha nailed to a cross. We know the plot twist, empty tomb, and we know how it ends. Go and make disciples of all nations, and lo, I'm with you always. Same story, over and over. I know you've thought it before. I don't need to hear this. I don't need to read this. I know how it goes. It never changes. I need to hear something new, something engaging, something to think about that I can actually apply to my day-to-day life. And it would seem that Satan has become quite adept at making us view some of the greatest blessings of God's Word and of God Himself in a negative light. Imagine this for a second. What if the story did change? Or what if we were missing information? What if we weren't sure exactly who Jesus was or what he did? The surety of all the promises that he gave us collapses. The hope of our salvation crumbles. Everything that we know and believe and live according to concerning this life and the life to come is, at best, uncertain. And at worst, an outright lie. The wonderful thing about the Bible's constancy, certainty, and unchanging nature is that it always has what you need at any time. Are things going well? God reveals himself as the Father of lights, the giver of every good and perfect gift. We have someone to give thanks for, and we have direction as to how to use those blessings in our lives to the glory of his kingdom. Like as is laid out in the parable of the 10 talents in Matthew 25. Are things going badly for you? The Bible is chock full of encouragement for the downtrodden. I once heard someone describe it as a book for the broken. How many times have you heard Psalm 23 by now? I bet some of you know a lot of it by heart. And yet, when we read through it and when we think about it, it sometimes comes off as, yeah, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll be fine. So what? But there will come a day when you have to sit in a hospital room holding the hand of a loved one or a friend, and you won't be able to think of anything to say except those wonderful words, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There will be days when you don't really feel the weight of your sin dragging you down that much. If we confess our sins, he forgives our sins, which aren't really that bad, I guess. And then there will be days that it crushes you flat when you did that unforgivable thing. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is not to say that sometimes there is application for God's word and other times you can't really apply it. There's always application in our lives for God's word. And frankly put, we forget about it. We forget about God's law and gospel every day. We fail to apply those timeless truths that God reveals to us. And our pride grows steadily and steadily, and we forget the immensity of our transgressions against God. We forget about the punishments that we have earned. And when the guilt of our sin finally does weigh us down, we forget the gospel. We decide that we are undeserving of God's love and that we deserve what we get. And that would be true if God had not done something about it. That would be true if it weren't for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The prophetic fulfillment showing us that Jesus is indeed the Christ, that he did live the life that we could not, that Jesus went to the cross with your sins and mine on his shoulders, and that he rose again and is even now our perfect intercessor to his Father and ours. We go through the life of Christ in church over and over again and in our own personal study and family devotions because it's not just a story. It's his story, or some would pronounce it history. Not only that, it is our story as well in Christ. Whether we look forward to Judgment Day or we look backward to Christ's birth, we see how God has worked all things together so that we can be called his children. And we see how he preserves his people so that we can continue to spread that hope of salvation to all people. And so, as we run it back one more time, may God give us eager hearts to dive into the greatest story ever told. Insurmountable opposition, the impossible birth, the ultimate sacrifice, and a love that transcends time and space. How does it start again? Ah, yes. Chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. This morning, we will sing a hymn that I'm sure most of us have come to associate with Advent, Joy to the World, but I'd like to draw your attention to the fact that it was originally written by Isaac Watts to be sung in connection with the end times. And so I thought it'd be a fitting bridge between the end of this previous church year as we look to begin a new one. So we will sing hymn 87, verses 1 and 2.